This evening, we're going to be looking at, well, starting to look at God's attributes. You can also see them as characteristics of God. But we're going to be looking at the attributes of God when it comes to who He is. And in these, we're going to see that there are things that God has, or some attributes that God has, that we also have. There's also going to be some attributes that are Him and Him alone. We don't have these. Now, before we actually get into the individual attributes, first we need to deal with two categories of attributes. And here we're going to be using some fancy terms, communicable and incommunicable. Now, if you're familiar with medical terminology, you'll understand what communicable and incommunicable or non-communicable mean. They basically, in medical terms, transmittable, not transmittable, basically. Well, when it comes to God and His attributes, that same idea is there. Communicable attributes, by the way, this comes from the term to communicate, which doesn't necessarily always mean to speak to. It also can mean to transfer to or to share with. So communicable attributes are attributes that God possesses and man possesses. That does not mean that they have them in equal amounts. They don't have the same level of these communicable attributes. Rather, what it means is God has them in their totality. Man has them to a lesser degree. Now, before I proceed in explaining them, I want to make it clear that when we talk about the attributes, we're talking about within the nature of the being, within the nature of God, or within the nature of man. And so, communicable attributes are attributes or characteristics that God has, but it's also characteristics that God shares with or gives to mankind. And we'll begin, we're going to begin looking specifically at the incommunicable, but when we do get to the communicable, you'll see that there are some attributes that we do have. And so I have written down there the definition there. There are attributes that are shared, but incommunicable are attributes that are not shared. We don't have these attributes in our nature. They're not part of who we are. Now, the interesting thing about the attributes is it is not an absolute all or none situation. What I mean is this. It is not, for example, a matter of, let's take incommunicable. That's easier for me to explain. Let's take the one of them that we're going to look at later on is eternality. That is, God is eternal. He has no beginning, no end. He has no cause or anything like that. God alone is eternal. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have eternal life. We do, but in our nature, we are not eternal. The eternal life that we have is life that we have through God that He gives us and allows us to participate in, but it's His eternality, not ours within our nature. So we're not dealing with what God allows us to participate in. We're talking about in who we are. The first one that we're going to be looking at is independence. This is an incommunicable attribute. We're going to begin with incommunicable attributes. The first one we're going to look at is independence. I have written down there above that these attributes, incommunicable ones, are attributes not shared with man, though we may experience some aspects of them, and I mentioned eternality there. Now, independence. When we think of independence as Americans, what's the first thing we tend to think of? Liberty? Freedom? Anybody think of 4th of July? As Americans, that's what we think of. In fact, as humans, when we think of independence, we think of freedom. However, while that's part of independence from a theological standpoint, that's not actually what independence really means. What independence means is that God requires nothing outside of Himself. God requires nothing outside of Himself. The funny thing about the attribute of independence is it is called by some the first or the primary attribute. Now, the reason it's called first or primary is because some have speculated that all of God's attributes derive from this one attribute. If God did not have this attribute, none of the others would be part of who He is. He could not possess any of the others. The idea is this. If God did not have the attribute of independence, He would not be God. This one is therefore called the primary or first attribute. Now, I have a word beside that that is one you may have not have seen before. You have independence. Then you have aseity. Now, the reason I include that is depending on what sources you look at, they may not talk about independence. They may talk about aseity. Same thing. So, we're going to be talking about independence or aseity. Now, you have here, I've given you three different definitions of independence or aseity, and from three different sources. This is from Herman Bavinck. He defined it this way. God is whatever he is by his own self or of his own self. God is what he is by his own self or of his own self. In other words, God needs nothing outside of himself. What makes God God? Yes. That's it. God is who he is because he's God. It's a bit of a circular argument, admittedly. However, if there was any other way to define it, God wouldn't be God. He would be dependent upon something outside of himself. However, he's not. Well, God Questions Ministries defines it this way. Now, again, this you'll see with them a lot. They don't have formal definitions. They have paragraphs. So I've I've kind of taken the definition from a longer paragraph. Then this summarizes how they define it. He, or God, is the one in whom all other things find their source, existence, and continuance. He is the ever-present power that sustains all life. God is the original source of all that is good and holy and righteous. Now, later on, we'll eventually get into how sin plays into this, but sin basically is this, that which is contrary to God. God didn't create sin because God cannot be opposed to himself. But God is the original source of all things and the ultimate source of all things, holy, righteous, and good. This definition is decent, in my opinion, from God Questions. However, it's not precise enough in my mind. That's why I like the very first one listed here, which is why I have it listed first. From Wayne Grudem, he says, God does not need us or the rest of creation for anything, yet we and the rest of creation can glorify him and bring him joy. God doesn't need us at all. God had no reason to create anything except that he wanted to. Didn't require it. He would have still been God if nothing was ever created. He chose to do things of his own decision, of his own will, of his own volition. God has no need he has here. However, he does add the yet. Although God does not need us, we can still praise him, glorify him, exalt him, and have a relationship with him. He doesn't need it, but we can give it to him, and he accepts it willingly. Why? That's the grace of God, that he would allow us who are fallen sinners to worship him and relate to him. That is probably my favorite definition of independence. So independence, although as Americans we think of the idea of freedom, theologically independence is about, do you need anything to be who you are? Are you dependent upon anything to be who you are? God? Nope. Creation? Yes. Creation would not exist if it was not for God creating it. Therefore, creation is dependent upon God. In fact, Scripture says that God, Jesus, upholds all of creation with his word. So he's still upholding creation. We are still dependent upon him. So we are not independent from a theological standpoint. We don't have aseity from that sense. Now, there are some people that will say all kinds of false things about God, and you may have heard some of these before. God needs mankind in order to exist or to do things or to be who he is, or in some way, God needs mankind. I've heard that idea, and it's totally unbiblical. It denies the independence of God. Another one, and this one I've heard quite a lot. God needs us to give him permission before he can act. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need us for anything. But I have heard preachers say, if you don't get into the right position or into the right alignment, God can't act. No. God can act on his own. Doesn't need us to give permission for anything. Would nobody give God permission to create us? How'd he do that without permission? Oh, he got his own permission because he's God, because he's independent. But people have said, you have to give God permission before he can act. Or this one, God needs us to do things for him to act. You need to do this or do that, and then God will be able to act. There was a preacher who, a few years ago, said that God can kill, but he won't because he no longer has that ability. He gave it to us. No. God can still kill at will. Now, the fact that he doesn't kill us immediately is grace. But God doesn't need us to do anything for him to act. I've also heard this one, and this one's popular among the prosperity gospel. If you want to be blessed, you need to first plant your seed, generally in their ministry. Without that seed, God can't bless you. Show me that in Scripture, that God cannot bless somebody without first them planting a financial seed in that person's ministry. No, God does not need us to do anything for him to do anything of himself. We don't have to be in a certain position. We don't have to be in a certain alignment. We don't have to give him permission. We don't have to do certain things. But yet people say this. Really what they're saying when they say these things is this. God needs you and he's dependent upon you. Well, if that's the case, who's God? We are. We're saying, God, we come above you and we rule you. By the way, the preacher that said that God can't kill people anymore because he gave it to us was Jesse Duplantis. And a friend of his, Kenneth Copeland, said that God is the biggest failure in Scripture. A failure. Yeah. He failed because he lost his creation, he lost his son, he lost this, he lost that. He's a big failure. God can't do certain things, and God needs us to help overcome that. The idea that God is dependent upon us somehow. You know, these people, Duplantis, Todd White, and Kenneth Copeland are three of many who have said things such as, God cannot act unless we first give him permission or we do something first. God depends upon us, placing man above God, denying God of his independence, that is his self-containment, that he is himself, of himself, by himself, needs nothing, and said, no, God requires us, and that is completely unbiblical. Another statement I've heard before is this. God needs us to give him the things that we own or give him our possessions. God needs us to give him our cash, our homes, our this. No, God doesn't need us to give him anything. And we're going to see in Scripture what the Bible actually says about God. But I've also heard this one, not as often lately, but I have heard this one before. Before creation, God was lonely and sad. He was all by himself. No, he wasn't at all. Not lonely, not sad, not devoid of anything. He was God, needing nothing. So, these are false statements about God. And by the way, if you hear anybody saying these kinds of things, giant red flags on those preachers and teachers. Doesn't mean that they themselves are necessarily false because they made one of these statements, but it should be a red flag to say, I need to listen to more of what this person says and listen to what they're saying as a whole, because it is possible that someone said something meaning this, but they ended up saying this, and it's like, okay, I wasn't clear. So listen to what they say, but see these statements as red flags to go, I'm paying attention to what's going on here. I need to pay close attention. I think it was Spurgeon or Whitfield I saw recently. I think it was Spurgeon that said, discernment is not knowing good from evil. It is knowing good from almost good. The problem is many Christians don't know the difference between good and almost good. They'll recognize sin, but they don't recognize what seems good but isn't. The almost good. And so a lot of Christians don't have discernment, which leads to people exploiting them with false teachings. But let's go ahead and take a look at what Scripture actually says. Does someone want to turn to Acts 17, verses 24 and 25? Acts 17, verses 24 and 25. So, what we have here is Paul stating God needs nothing. Nothing. If God needs nothing, that means God doesn't need us to do anything before he acts. It means God doesn't need us to give him anything. It means God doesn't need us to exist. God needs nothing. Everything God needs, he has in himself. Within the Trinity, God has everything he needs. Everything that he created was simply a joy for him to create because he wanted to. He chose to. He didn't have to. Now, I'll go and read Job 41:11, and it says, "Who has first given to me that I should repay him?" This is God speaking. "Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine." Does someone want to read Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12? Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. So what we have in these passages is God declaring, "I own it all." He already owns it. Does God need us to give him anything? When we give God of our time, he already owns that. We're just giving back what he already owns, and he's allowed us to have. When we give God of our abilities, our talents, we're giving God back what he already owns and what he's already given us. When we give God of our treasures, of our finances, we're giving God what he already has. It's already his. He doesn't need it. He's allowed us to have it, though. But God doesn't need us to give him anything. He already owns it all. God owns more stuff than Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos put together. God already owns it all. So, we have God needs nothing. God owns everything. Now, when it comes to these responses, these scriptures refute God needs mankind. They refute God needs us to give him permission. They refute God needs us to do things. They refute God needs us to give him things. But then what about this last one? God was lonely or unhappy before creating man. Poor God. I feel sorry for him. He's just so alone for all of eternity. Oh, wait, let's go ahead and read. I'm going to go ahead and read out of John 17, verses 5 and 24. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with that glory that I had with you before the world existed." And he continues, "Father, I desire that they also," his disciples, his followers, "that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." So love, joy, glory, God had all of those in absolute abundance before creation. Within the Trinity, the Holy Spirit glorified the Father. The Son glorified the Father. The Father exalted. The three of them, the three persons of the Trinity within the one Godhead, God's full glory, joy, everything. God wasn't lonely. He wasn't sad at all. So God's glory, God's love, God's joy, they preexisted before creation. If God needed to create to be happy or have glory or feel love or anything, then please explain to me how God the Son tells God the Father that these things were existing before the foundation of the world and before the world existed. So either the doctrine of God was lonely is false or Jesus lied. I think I'll go with Jesus telling the truth here. If anybody claims that God needs anything outside of himself, that God requires anything outside of himself, reject that person. Because what they're saying is God is dependent upon something outside of himself, and he's not. God cannot be God and be dependent upon something outside of himself. It's impossible. It cannot happen. And what they're doing is they're saying the creator of the universe is actually not that great. He has someone above him. That someone is you and I. Well, we're not above God. Scripture makes it clear. Who's the creator? He is. And who's the creation? We are. And another way of putting it is he is the potter, we're the clay. He forms us and molds us as he chooses. We depend upon him. He maintains our heartbeats. You know, they talk about, you know, the brain when we're asleep just keeps working and the heart keeps beating and the lungs keep breathing. And I remember as a kid wondering, why? Why does the heart keep beating? How does the heart know not to just stop? Or how do the lungs know not to go, I'm done? Well, the brain keeps it operating. Well, what keeps the brain working? Well, the chemicals and electrical currents and so forth. Well, what keeps them running? Eventually, you have to get to something or someone that keeps the body going. God. God does that. We depend upon God to even exist and survive. God depends on nothing and no one. So if anybody claims that God needs anything outside of himself, reject them. Now, there are a couple implications to God's independence. It actually tells us something beyond just the fact that God is independent. First, God's independence emphasizes that God was never created. If God had been created by something or someone, that means that God would be dependent upon that something or someone. But since he's independent, depends on nothing, God is not a created being. He just always was. Always was. And we see this in Scripture. Some of you want to turn to Exodus 3, verses 13 to 14. Exodus 3, verses 13 to 14. I am. And by the way, that is a very critical word. Very critical name that God uses of himself there. John 8, 58. This is Jesus responding to the Pharisees and scribes. And he's going to say something that they know absolutely what he is saying. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am." Ego I me in Greek. What Jesus is saying here is this: I am God. And because of this statement, they cried blasphemy and tried to kill him on the spot. Because by the law's standard, if a mere man claims to be God, it is blasphemy, punishable by death, and they are to be killed immediately. They were within the law to do that, except for one little problem. Jesus was telling the truth. He's not a mere man. He is God. So him stating this, he's not claiming godhood. No, he's declaring what is. He's just stating a fact. It's like saying the sun is hot. Yeah. Water is wet. Yes. Jesus is God. Yeah. Jesus uses I am. Now, what's interesting, God called himself I am. At what point is God not I am? Never. Always is I am. In other words, God has no creator. God has no beginning. God is dependent upon nothing. He just always was. And here's a bit of a bit admittedly circular statement, but it's the only way to state this. God always exists because he's God, and because God always exists, he is God. Eternal existence is evidence of him being God. And the fact that he's God is evidence that he eternally exists. Why? Welcome to the nature of God, who is the first source, the original cause, who is eternal God. I am. God's independence emphasizes God was never created, but it also emphasizes God's sovereignty. That is, he acts of his own will as he chooses. He's not dependent upon anything or anyone to act or decide to act. Someone want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 33, verse 11? Psalm 33, verse 11. So we have the counsel of the Lord stands how long? Forever. When's the beginning of forever? When's it end? So, God's plans, God's word, God's will is dependent upon absolutely nothing except him. Totally what they would call self-contained. Isaiah 46:10 says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. My counsel shall stand. In other words, God saying, that which I want is dependent upon me and me alone. It has no beginning, has no end outside of himself, because he is the beginning and the end. Proverbs 19:21 says this, Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. But what we see here in this proverb is this. You and I can make plans, but whose purpose will stand? God's. If you remember back when we were a couple sermons ago, when I talked about making plans, we always have to keep in mind the second coming, always have to keep God in our plans. We don't have to necessarily say, if the Lord wills, but that should always be undercurrent to everything we say. Why? Because God can always thwart our plans, because God's plans are supreme and superior to all other plans. The idea here is that God decides of his own will, of his own mind, what to act on, when to act, and how to act. Requires nothing, depends on nothing, except himself. God is sovereign. Now, if we say God has to act based upon us, what we're saying is we are sovereign, God's not. God's now dependent. If we say that we have to do something before God acts, again, God's dependent upon us, and we're saying we are sovereign, God is not. However, God is sovereign. God acts of his own free will, of his own volition. And we'll deal more with sovereignty later as we get into other attributes. But I want to stop there with the attribute of God's independence.